Chi, are aware there are a number of people here tonight that we don't know, just trusting already. You feel the family, the love of God in our midst. And I'm hoping to share some of God's word with us over the next 25 minutes. I've set a timer, so it's going to go off in 25 minutes, which is a good thing for anyone who stands up and preaches. So bear with me. But I had a couple of things, or I had something specifically on my heart, actually, before I preach, and I quickly want to go there. Is I was at gym the other day. I do gym, believe it or not. And despite what Mark would think. And I bumped into an old friend of mine, a friend from years ago, and he was working out. I went over and said, how's it, Kev? How are you, man? Jeez, I haven't seen you in ages. His name's Kevin from Kreinberg. And I know, I've known Kev from way back. And we got chatting, and I said, hey, how's life? What you been doing? What you been up to? And he said, well, actually, I've just come back from a weekend away. I was in Stanford for a wedding. Interesting. I said, which wedding were you at? He said, I can't really remember the name. He's having a moment. So he opened his wife was a photographer. He opened kind of some like back entry on his phone to her photos. And he opened a photo of Glenn and Yana, which was your wedding, guys, that Lindsay had taken the photos. And he said, I was at this wedding. I said, oh, that's amazing. I happen to know the guy who married them. Can you believe it? There's a photo of Neil. Neil, you're looking quite gray. You're looking good, but gray, bro. that's the thing that struck me. But the other thing that struck me, and I don't often do this, but I wanted to bring like a public word of encouragement to you guys sitting at the back there, is I felt, as I looked at the photo, I just felt the presence of God. I felt like you guys are a special couple. I felt like there's something beautiful. You not only look good, but like there's something of God that's on you. And I was reminded, Glenn, of your name. What was I reminded of? I was reminded of Glen Beach, actually. And I'm not a surfer, but I know the guys rip. They often surf there. And I felt like God is taking you, my man, on a journey. You're about to ride a wave that you could never believe you would have ridden. You maybe don't think it's there, but it's forming, and God's getting you into the right position so you can ride this wave into a future. So I just feel like God is really something specific and special for you guys. And he's even going to do that tonight. So you're going to sense something of that breaking open in your hearts tonight. Okay, so I don't even know you guys, but praying for you. All right. Awesome. So this evening, Neil asked me to speak about the gospel, the good news of what we believe as Christians, like aspects of the foundation of our faith, who God is, how he works in us, and how he saves us, and what he saves us from, and the life that he's longing to give us. And I've got a PowerPoint. I don't know if it's going to work. Are we going to go there? So don't switch your brain off when you hear PowerPoints. Because I would do that. But I like it, especially for those who are visiting, because there's going to be, hopefully there'll be power in it. Because I like to emphasize specific things with scriptures behind me. And so let's put that first slide up. My daughter actually designed that slide, so kudos to her. She had a look through my PowerPoint this afternoon, and she, Dad, there's no pictures, there's only words, you need help. So she put the pictures in. It's just those two. And what I want to speak to us this evening is about the gospel of recreation, how God, through his Son, has made a way for us, and through his Son's death on the cross, his life, his death, and his resurrection, he's made a way for us as human beings to be born again, to come to him like children, and to receive eternal life, this precious gift. And it's so interesting, I was reflecting on the last number of years, and especially now living in Sea Points, Greenpoint area, and I see the obsession with recreation. Yes, every second person is running, walking, riding, doing something, surfing. There's just this whole culture of recreation in our world. I'm like, we're either running, or we're trying to get fit, or we're trying to eat healthy. And I think it is a good thing. God's obviously in that, because if we don't look after ourselves and the temple he's given us, there's a problem. But it's amazing how the enemy can come and he can hijack something that's good, and he can twist it into something which actually draws people away. And so I see many who are drawn away. They're enticed into pursuing this life of health, of recreation, of fitness, and trying to look buff and look awesome, Easier for some than others. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 in the New Testament, there's a verse that says this. It says that the enemy, there's God, loving, good, gracious, and there's Satan. He's our enemy. There's darkness in him. There's death in him. He's wanting to destroy our lives. And it says that he is our enemy in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. I think it's a second scripture there. So go there, Dale, if you don't mind. He blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the, of what? The gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And there's something so precious in God's heart with regard to the gospel, because the gospel is his son. It's the good news of his son. It's the good news of what he's done for us. It's the good news that humankind needs to hear. And so I see this contrast, like God is wanting to recreate us and give us eternal life and for us to be born again in him. And the world is pursuing recreation. The world is doing everything they can to hold on to life, to make ourselves look as young as we can, for as long as we can, because we don't want to face the thought of what's to come. But there's good news into the midst of that. There's the gospel that God brings us. And so 1 Corinthians 15, is it working or not? Okay, sorry, I jumped there. My bad. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 2 says this. Paul again writing, he says, I want to remind you, brothers. Now he's speaking to the church. He's not speaking about the world. He's speaking to the church. He says, I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And so Paul, such an important man in the New Testament, an important man in the Christian faith, writes to the church at Corinth. Imagine I'm writing to the church in Cape Town. And he says, church in Cape Town, I want to remind you about the gospel, because you have a tendency to forget it. And the gospel is not just for the world. It is. Because as we were singing earlier, he wants nations to come to him. But it's for the church as well. We need to be preaching the gospel to ourselves, reminding ourselves of the gospel, and then living in it. Amen? Which means, so be it. Yes. And so, yes, Paul encourages them about the gospel and says it's something that you need to be reminded of and it's something you need to receive. And then he also says in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 to 4, I'm moving quickly because my time's short, but bear with me. He says that there's also a different gospel out there, that not everyone is preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that some preach about another Jesus, some speak about a different spirit, some are preaching a different gospel, which is not the gospel that we in this building, in this family, in this household, under his lordship and him as a father, believe the gospel which is taught in the Bible. There's a different gospel out there, and the different gospels out there look like different things. And I want to remind us of two ways in which the gospel is actually unhealthily presented, or it is not the gospel. Let's go to the next slide. What was the gospel not? I'm going to get to what the gospel is and more of that in a moment. But what is the gospel's not? Self-improvement. Jesus doesn't come to us and say to us, I want you to improve yourself before I have a relationship with you. Anyone who has a relationship with Jesus knows that. In my most broken space, in the place, believe it or not, I've got this like reputation on the eldership team that I'm like good, clean, living Ross. Like I've never done anything wrong. But I promise you I have done some things. I've messed up, okay? Andrew has this impression of me. I'm like, Andrew, if only we'd hung out many years ago. Because in the trick, as an example, I was a prefect, but I was smoking dope. My friend's parents bust me, phoned my parents and said, if you don't stop smoking dope, we will phone the police. And then I'm going to explain that to my headmaster, captaining the first cricket team at the same time. So it was an interesting, complex, difficult time, and it made me ask a lot of questions. Anyway, so it's often when we're at our worst, at our most broken, that we find ourselves coming to God, because we can't improve ourselves. It's not in our capacity, it's not in our human capabilities to be able to improve ourselves to such a degree that God will accept us. He will only accept us when we receive what his son has done for us. As I say that, my hair is standing up because I'm reminded of what he did for me and what he's done for many of us. So the self-improvement that so many of us pursue on the one side, and then the other kind of false gospels, there are many, but these are just two, is the therapeutic side, where we receive and we accept Jesus so that our lives can become more and more about us. It's a faith in Jesus that removes the cross, and it puts the cross to the side, because the cross means sacrifice. Because the cross means I now have to follow Jesus to the cross like a son of God. It means confession and repentance of our sin. It means turning from those things. And a therapeutic gospel doesn't have that. It's all about me and making me feel good. And so there's a gospel that's preached out there that Jesus is going to come and he's going to make your life awesome. If you believe in him, you are not going to have your motorbike stolen. Like that kind of gospel. I know that's not what you're saying, but I'm twisting it now. You know, if you believe this and this and this won't happen to you as long as you often give the church some money. And this is therapeutic. It's all about me gospel. Like, that is not the gospel. Okay. So this evening, what I want to do is speak about the true gospel. Next slide. What is the gospel? I'm going to look at some scripture in a moment, but I want to say it now. The true gospel is about a new life, not the promise of a better life. Because I promise you, we've got an amazing apartment in Sea Point. God is so gracious to us, gave us this beautiful view of a Sea Point. But the thing about looking at Main Road, driving up and down, oh, I see all the cars and all the stuff that happens in Sea Point Main Road, the good and the bad. But the good is like cheapest. I've never seen so many rad 4x4s. I've never seen so many Ferraris. I've never seen so many good-looking people. I've never seen, see where this is going? Better life. And I'm like, all of a sudden I start thinking my life sucks. But it doesn't. It's a lie. Because I think somehow I'm owed a better life. No. The gospel says, no, Jesus has come to give you a new life. New life that changes you from the inside out. And so the true gospel is that once we were dead in our sins, but now we are alive through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we can't improve ourselves, because a dead person can't improve themselves. Have you ever seen a dead person improve themselves? No. God considers us dead in our sins. And the only way for us to be restored back into relationship with Him is if we receive what His Son has done on the cross. And so Jesus has many interactions throughout His life. He lives before He dies. He lives a life. He's born and he says and He does many things. But one of the most interesting conversations He has in all of His life, I think, is this conversation that He has with a man called Nicodemus, a religious teacher of the day. And Jesus comes to him, and Nicodemus is trying so hard to improve himself, everything to try and prove that he's a righteous man. Jesus comes to him and says, Nicodemus, if you truly want to be accepted by God, truly, truly, for emphasis, truly, truly, Jesus says to him, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because the scripture I mentioned at the beginning, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the enemy has come to blind our eyes. Blind our eyes from the gospel. God's going to reveal to us, our eyes have to be opened so we can see what it is He's done on the cross for us. And then for us to reach out in faith and receive that. And so Jesus has this conversation with Nicodemus, and it just, I think, emphasizes and kind of summarizes the truth of what I'm trying to say tonight. That God is wanting to give us new life, not to make us better people, but to give us new life. And so the Bible uses this really fancy word for what it means to be born again. It's the word regeneration, all right? In the Greek, it's the word palingenesis. Let's quickly stop there. Genesis makes you think of the beginning of the Bible. Okay, Genesis, the beginning of the Bible. And anyone study paleontology? It's the study of things from the past. It's those people who go out and look for fossils and all of that. It's a record, it's a history of what's happened at the beginning. And so regeneration, being born again, is God saying to each one of us who are dead in our sins, do you know what? Your sin has killed you, but I want to take you back to the beginning. We are created right at the start, and I breathed life into you. I took dust into my hand, and I breathed life into you. I'm wanting to do that again now. I'm wanting you to be born again spiritually so that you can have a relationship with me and accept me as a good father, and you can become my child. And so John 1, 12 to 13 says, to all who receive Him, us, and it's unbelievable. At the beginning, you mentioned that thing about the kids. And Jesus saying the kids must come to Him. He wants to receive it. Why? He wants people to come to Him so that they can receive His love. And tonight He wants to receive people into His arms. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right, He gave the privilege to become children of God who were born. Each one of us were born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Isn't that incredible, though? It's a promise that He holds out to us. You know, sin is such an ugly thing. Sin is such a terrible thing, which we try so hard in our humanness to suppress and push down and ignore. But the next slide speaks about what sin does to us. And I'm not going to preach for a long time about sin tonight, but what I want to focus on is an aspect of sin which is important for tonight, because one of the things that sin does to us, apart from killing us, is we're dead spiritually, but we're still alive. And because we've been alienated from God, it alienates us from other people. Our relationships, therefore, are never the way they're meant to be, as good as they are. There's a better way because there's new life to be received in Him. And so one of the things that the world, let alone us, one of the things that the world is struggling with the most at the moment is alienation. Every second person, almost every person would be able to confess that somehow, somewhere you struggle with loneliness, you feel alienation, because that is the problem of sin in our lives. But God has a solution to that. And that solution is Him sending His Son, dying on a cross, just dealing with the sin, so that we can be restored back into relationship with Him as sons and daughters of God. And so, quickly going back to Genesis, going back to the beginning, there's one scripture from Genesis I want to mention because it shows how sin ends up alienating us from God. Are you still with me? Okay, I'm going to come into land soon. I want to remind us that in Genesis, if being born again takes us back to the beginning, in Genesis, God created the world and He said that it was good, okay? He created us. Let's go back to the slide. We'll get there in a moment. Sorry. So Genesis. God created the world, said it was good. He created us and said we were very good. Why? Because we were created in His image. He asked us to rule over creation by stewarding it. That was His wisdom. That was His command to us in His wisdom to us. But He also gave us choice. Because we're human beings, not human robots. He gave us choice, and He said, will you steward my creation and receive my wisdom, the wisdom of my command? But unfortunately, we know that Adam, first human, that Adam and Eve, took that choice that they had, and they ate of the one tree that God said, please don't eat from that tree, please. In my wisdom, obey my commands. Get on with stewarding everything else I have for you, and just leave that tree to me. But human beings, we want to know. Yes, we always want to know everything. My kids want to know everything all the time. It's exhausting. They literally want to know everything all the time. And we like that. And so they see the tree and they go, we're going to turn from that, everything that God has for me. We want to know what's going on there. And so Adam and Eve find their way, they weave their way to this tree. And it says they eat of the fruit of this tree, Genesis 3, verse 6. And it says, so when the woman Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, so instead of accepting God's wisdom, she was now pursuing her own wisdom, which is pride, which is sin. She took of its fruit and she ate. And what happened? Her eyes were opened. Her eyes were opened. It's depravity. And the response to that depravity is they began to see, as their innocence was now gone because of what they were now seeing. What did they do? They hid themselves. Alienation. And so their first response, as is all of our responses actually, is to run from God. Before we ever start to seek God, we run from Him. It's the story of humankind. The only reason we end up seeking Him is because He's calling us. He's calling. And He's saying, my sons and my daughters, the nations, an Iranian German here tonight. I mean, nations is an example. He wants nations to come to Him. And so God's solution to all of this as our land is that we are to be born again. And I want to ask you a question this evening with regard to your life, not your spiritual life, but your life. Did you born yourself? Let me ask that a question again. Did you born yourself? No. It doesn't even grammatically make sense in English. I don't know if it works in Afrikaans, but in English that doesn't work. Did you born yourself? No. And so there's nothing you can do to be born again other than to receive what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you. By the new birth, thank you, God's solution. By receiving new birth, we become a brand new kind of person. A person who is recreated. A person who's now alive. And by the Spirit of God comes inside of us as you receive Him. And he does something supernatural, mysterious inside of you, not to make you a better person, but to bring you back to life. So that now, you can begin to get on with living for Him, looking like Him, becoming like Him. And so the journey of the Christian faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the good news of what His Son has done on the cross for us. And we need to receive that by faith. And if we do, the promise is that God will come and He will live inside of us by Spirit. And the first thing He's going to do is He's going to recreate something inside of you. He's going to give you the gift of eternal life. You're going to be born again. And all of a sudden, you're going to identify with Him, as Mark said earlier, as Father. You're a good Father. You're not a strange God out there. You're not a God who requires me to do all these things. But you're a Father who's saying, receive my love that I've given to you in my Son, Jesus Christ. And so I want to say to us tonight, every single one of us, that at the beginning, God designed for us to be His friends. In Genesis, God designed for us to be His sons and daughters. His sons and daughters. But due to original sin, we have become enemies of the Creator. And there's nothing you can do apart from. There's nothing you can do. Yeah, I'll leave it there. That's the scripture I wanted. There's nothing you can do apart from receiving what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. And if you do, the promise is that we will be made new creations. The old will pass away and the new will come. And we earnestly believe this evening, as we felt to bring this word of God, that tonight God was wanting to remove blindness and open eyes. Remove blindness and open eyes so that we can see what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us. And that in His mercy and His love tonight, there are lives that He's wanting to touch and to change by His Spirit. And what do you need to do? I want to say you don't walk out of this place. Don't walk away this evening believing that somehow you can born yourself. Because you can't. Don't leave this place tonight thinking, I'm just going to carry on with my life in the hope that I can make it better for myself. Because it's never going to be enough. What you need to do is stop this evening. Pause. Hear that God is speaking to you. And come to Him. In fact, if you want to, you can run to Him like a child. And accept His embrace. Come onto His lap. Allow Him to hold you. Accept His love and His promises. He's going to put His Spirit inside of you. And you will be born again. A new life will enter you. Let's close our eyes and pray. If you don't mind. If we can stand, it would be helpful as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.